This stuff tastes like crap.
Really? Let me try some. Hey, it is crap. Not bad.
Who's your daddy?
Everywhere is freaks and Harris, dykes and Ferris. Tell me where is sanity?
Freaks and Harrys, dykes and fairies. Where's the sanity? It's not here. This is a big foamy head. Doing a smoke beer show.
Smoky. And I think you had to get really smoked up to properly appreciate that song back in its heyday in 1971. That was 10 years after. And
you were quizzing me. It was like, what other great songs have they done?
Yeah.
And I drew a blank.
But so. That's because that's it. that's their one big honking song. And it's everybody knows that song. I would dare say few people under the age of 40 could even name the band. And no one, I would wager, could name more than two or three of their songs. And there's a reason for that. The majority of the songs they did were covers. And we talked about this, I don't know how many times. We've covered this thousands of times. Blues and blues music has been predominant since day one. And these guys were no exception. If you listen to the album that was originally on, called A Space and Time, released in 1971, every other song is a blues song. Now, granted, they put their own twist on it, but it's classified on iTunes as a blues album, with the exception of that one song where they did the mainstream, you know, it's like some of the artists say, okay, well, look, guys, we got to pay the rent, so you got to kind of do something along the mainstream genre. So they did the, Save the World, Everything's Going to Hell in a Handbasket deal, and, Love, Peace, Happiness, and it hit huge. And they never hit anything like it since.
Well, it's the time, it was 1971, the Vietnam War was going on, people were discovering marijuana and LSD and other hallucinogenics and going out and free loving it all over the place. So
yeah,
it's the time and place, right time, right place.
But it was a lot of blues though, and that's where I think there's a kind of a misnomer. Yeah, they were doing all that, but they were all, you know, enjoying their blues music too.
Yeah, but this is a damn good song.
It stands. Oh, it is. It's a great song.
So.
And I was playing a couple of cuts from the other album, other songs on the same album, and the album the year before. And they're playing Sonny Boy Williamson. They're playing Willie Dixon. They're doing a little Chuck Berry. They're just having a good time. So the reason we're talking about that is I kind of backed into this. I came across this guy, and I said, man, that name rings a bell, Alvin Lee. And he's been doing a little work, and we're going to play a song later on and kind of bring you up to work with what up to date on what Alvin Lee has been doing, some of his more recent work, not 10 years after, but almost 40 years after that song was released.
It hurts to say that, doesn't it?
Ah, man, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, I think I was, I'd love to say I was an embryo in 1971, but unfortunately, I wasn't. So what about this beer we're drinking? We burned 3 minutes fussing about 10 years after. How about this beer?
Well, we're featuring the Schlenkerla Brewery this time. They're out of Bamberg, Germany. And we've had one or two of their beers on occasion, but we've never actually featured them on an entire show. So we've got three of them.
And this is, now I wasn't really sure because I'm looking at the label and it's all in German. And I wasn't sure what exactly the name was. I see this down at the bottom it says Brauerei Heller Bamberg, but Bamberg is just like a big brewery town, right? Or a region or something. And so Schlenkerla, in their big claim is, like I said, smoked beer. And this is something else unique. It's German beer. We really don't have a lot of German beer, right?
No, we haven't featured too much of it. I'm sure they have plenty of good beer, but...
I mean, that's where, you ask Joe Schmo, who doesn't really know about craft beer, and you say, where's the best beer in the world? Their response usually is Germany, because that's what they heard. And, of course, we know that's just not true. The best beer is here in the United States, as far as I'm concerned. And I know that our friends Kirk over in Germany wishes he could have some of the beer we enjoy. But anyway, nonetheless, this is really, really tasty beer. And
yeah, now we're enjoying some of that he enjoys. And Schlenkerle has become a magic word for a long time, but many do not know where this word originated. Its roots lie in the Frankish vernacular, in which Schlenkern is an expression for walking not straight, just like a drunken person does. Allegedly, one of the former brewers had a funny way of walking due to an accident, or maybe due to the beer, and so he was called Schlenkerla, the little dangler.
The little dangler?
Yep.
Okay, so we're mocking a cripple.
That's right. Well, we're honoring a cripple by drinking his smoked beers.
Okay, so this you drink this beer, you'll walk like the little dangler.
So we start, they actually do a lot of the classic German beer styles with the smoked malts. So they put their own unique twist on it. The one we started with is a Weizen, which is a wheat beer.
I was kind of surprised when I poured it because, one, it was dark, and two, it had, and I had not had any beer prior to this today. It was consumed with smoke. I mean,
yeah, I could smell it like a. As soon as I opened the bottle, I had the smoke aroma, and I could smell it strongly from like 2 feet away. So
yeah,
it just kind of filled up the room.
And the other thing was, it says on the website, it says the original Schlenkerla smoke beer, wheat beer with a smoky flavor, unfiltered and naturally hazy, bottle fermented with a fine top fermenting yeast. Now, I poured it. And mine was clear as can be. And you were telling me, yeah, this is a little hazy, it's unfiltered. And I'm going, what? Well, not mine. And then I poured the rest of it, and I got a big chunk of sediment plopped out.
Right. Same here. Same here.
And same. That's where it is. And I forgot, I know this is proper beer etiquette with a Hefeweizen, that you roll the bottle gently to stir up the yeast or the residue that's in there. And so I plopped it into my glass instead of kind of rolling it around. Gives it a little more body and mouthfeel, and good for you, right?
Chock full of vitamin B12. What I did is I emptied the bottle a little bit and then just kind of vigorously swirled it. And guess what? It became cloudy after that. So
I was caught unawares. But this has its original gravity at 13.2%. Alcohol is only 5.2%. Bitterness of 20, near non-existent bitterness. So, good stuff. And smoke, man. I mean, it's like drinking, not liquid smoke, but pretty close to it. It's smoky, smoky, smoky beer.
It's actually good that these are going to be lower in gravity because you have... three bottles, and I have three bottles, and they're each 1.9 ounces. So,
yeah,
if we drink them all on the show, we're going to be Schlenkerling around.
That's right.
Afterwards, the website says, even if the brew tastes somewhat strange at the first swallow, do not stop, because soon you will realize your thirst will not decrease and your pleasure will visibly increase. That's obviously a English translation of something that probably sounds good in German, but the idea is, you know, swallow the first few things, or get the first few swallows down, even if it's too smoky for you, because you're going to enjoy them later.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, I thought, oh man, how am I going to be, and I said that to you, how am I going to be able to drink all of these? But you kind of do settle into it, and it's an interesting little aftertaste, not unpleasant at all, and when you get it the second time around, after you get your burps going, it reminded me of Memphis in May.
Right, which it should.
Yeah.
This is actually beechwood, not hickory smoked. Hickory smoked actually comes out a little more acidic.
Yeah, I imagine it would. But it's that smoke character, oh, man, it was good. It was like after you have a good barbecue dinner. Man, good stuff.
So yeah, I'm looking for a source of beechwood because I would actually like to smoke my own malts.
Are those like... Are they not common in the U.S.? I would think you'd find a beech tree somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I buy all my smoking, the wits I use on my smoker from the grocery store. I've never seen a bag of beech wood, so.
No.
Someone.
Like the chips or something in the store? Yeah, I mean.
Right, right.
Apple, hickory, mesquite, maybe the odd cherry, but never beech. You're exactly right. Well, you know, I've got my grill back out and warming it up. We're kind of getting into the moderate temperatures in Memphis. It's fluctuating. Like today, it sucks. Yesterday, it was in the 70s. So, you know, during one of those days where I had a little warmth, I fired up the grill and I cooked some chicken with white barbecue sauce. Man, it was good.
Right. What is it? Billy Bob Gibson's white chicken sauce or something?
White barbecue sauce. If you look up Big Bob Gibson's white barbecue sauce. And I take that and I add about 4 tablespoons of our rub. And I've done 2 batches of chicken. Tried it once with Rendezvous rub. Good. Didn't have any sugar in it. Tried it again with our rub that had a lot of the turbinado, the raw sugar in it, even better. So I know where I'm going, and I'm doing this because I'm going to be a guest cook on a barbecue team. A friend from work has been on this team for years. I think they've been on the circuit for 12, 13, 14 years, the Hogfathers. And I'm going to go hang with them at the South Haven Barbecue, and hopefully, if I don't screw up, Memphis in May. So if anybody's heading to Memphis in May, come by and say, hey, and I'm cooking chicken, not barbecue. I mean, not pork this year, but chicken. So something different.
Well, congratulations for getting on a team, for one thing. It's kind of an honor.
Yeah, it's very nice of them. And, you know, my chicken, you've had it before. It's been pretty well received. It's not what I think of as a barbecue purist. I think of low and slow pig meat. Chicken, something you cook to eat while you're waiting on the pork, but I'll take it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the anything but category, right?
Yes, you are correct.
So this is the category where you enter things that aren't your standard barbecue fare, the ribs and the whole hog and the pulled pork.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it, just like I'm looking forward to our next beer. This is the original, right? The Marzen, which was like their first beer. That they did. It says, I'm looking at the original Schlenkerla smoke beer, Marzen. Bamberg Specialty, a dark bottom fermented smoke beer.
Which means it's a lager.
Yeah. With the original Schlenkerla smoke malt from the Schlenkerla maltings and tapped according to old tradition directly from the gravity fed oak wood cask in the historical brewery Tavern. This one is 13.2% original gravity, alcohol 5.1, bitterness is 30, so it's a little more. Have you already cracked yours?
I have.
I got mine off. How about that sound effects? This doesn't pour very much of a head at all. Okay, there's
no,
a little bit coming up, bigger bubbles. And you can smell the smoke right off the top of the thing.
Yeah, I like to actually breathe in while I'm sipping, you know, so that I'm getting the whole aroma as well as the taste
mm-hmm.
coming in.
Now, our first one that we had, you touched on that. This is a bottom fermented. It's a Marzen. Our first one, the wheat beer, was a top fermented.
Making it an ale, so, yeah.
Right.
I like the fact that they were kind of promoting the fact that these were cellared in 700-year-old cellars, as if that improves the taste.
as long as they're not using 700-year-old casks, I mean, well, who knows?
Yeah. Right? I just think it's kind of funny. It's marketing speak, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter how old the cellar was that you're cellaring it in.
It's the historical value of it, right?
True. Means they've been around for a long time doing something good.
This is a very, very dark for a Morrison. Morrison's to me are kind of caramely or to a dark caramel toffee color. This is a very dark brown. It's opaque. I can't really see it. I see some bubbles on it. But short of that.
Well, just for our new listeners, occasionally we pick up a few. Marzen and Oktoberfest are the same style. It just depends on what time of year that they're brewed. So if you see an Oktoberfest in the store or a Marzen, they're pretty much the same style of German lager beer.
And the idea behind it, they brewed this and stored it in order to have it ready at the beginning or the end of the harvest?
Well, I think that you brew a Marzen like in October to drink in March, and then you drink, you brew a Oktoberfest like in March to drink in October, you know, so.
Yeah, because these are lagered in the caves and all of that, right?
Right.
Well, this is, this has a little, considering that it has a higher IBU, still not much, 30 is a very low IBU, it seems maltier to me, which the Marzens and Oktoberfest to me, I know they vary according to who you get them from, but this seems a little sweeter than the wheat. Not too much, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that the wheat we had was probably truly representative. I think we need to fly to Germany and actually try it off the tap.
Just make sure.
Nice and fresh.
Yeah.
But in lieu of that, yeah, you're right. This is definitely a little bit sweeter, maltier beer. I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Me too. And why don't we take a break and listen to a little Alvin Lee. Here's what he's up to now.
I'm
Calvin Lee from 10 Years After. And that's what he's up to now. That was Rock and Roll Girls, and that was one I came across. He recorded that a few years ago, and he recorded that in Nashville, not here in Memphis, but in Nashville, at Scotty Moore's home. Scotty is the former lead guitarist for Elvis and DJ Fontana, Elvis's drummer, and they did a nice little rockabilly set. So that was good stuff. And
a little boogie woogie there.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of a all the way back to where he came from, covering boogie woogie and blues and rockabilly and R&B and all of that. So this is good stuff. I was really enjoying hearing him, and nice stuff. Just like this beer, this Marzen. Man, this is a tasty beverage.
It's going down smooth.
It really is. And my wife came down there in a song, You Heard Her. She tried it, and she doesn't care for beer in general, but she's going, "This, what is this?" Of course, she said cigarette ash, which is not the most complimentary thing. But she drank it, and when she saw the label, she goes, "Oh, yeah, it's got smoke in it," and which was a novelty to her. So I don't know if you'd call this, like, it's not a novelty beer, because there is a lot of smoked beers out there. Been a style forever, right?
Smoked porters are real popular. I do a lot of smoked beers. I mean, the Scottish ales, they're really not supposed to add smoked malts to them, because, you know, the real Scottish ales, they have kind of a peat smoke character, because they use that to dry or to kill the malts.
Yeah.
I like to add a little bit of Bamberg smoked malts, the raw malts, to that. And I add smoked malts to half my beer recipes. So.
Well, it's good taste, but it adds a little subtlety to it. But these are almost over the top. They're full of smoke. You're not confused about the flavor you're getting.
Yeah, this is the standard as far as I'm concerned.
Now, what were you telling me? What have you got coming up here? Some special tastings and?
Oh yeah, I'm Adam Avery's Vintage. So every time they have some kind of public event, I go out to it. They have an insider tasting series coming up this week, and it'll be passed by the time our listeners hear the show. But we're doing Samael this time. It's called the Insider Tasting Series. It's $20 a pop, and you go in, and, you know, sometimes they give you some of their cellared beers. Those give you a really good selection of some of the best beers they have, and the brewers come in and they discuss what, you know, they brewed and how they brewed and why it's unique and things like that. So it's very educational. Another thing I do on a regular basis is going for an MBA.
Yeah.
A Master of Beer Answers.
Oh,
A Master of Beer Answers. So.
Okay.
At Boulder Brewing Company. They have a thing once a month, too, and you go in and you talk to their brewers. And last time we had a discussion on filtering. So it kind of inspired me to go out and buy a plate filter for my home brewery. And my last beer, I actually ran through the filter. You take two of these Sankey kegs, soda kegs, put some pressure on it and push the beer through these maybe 4 or 5 inch diameter paper filters. So it's one way to remove the yeast and the sediment and hop.
Yeah, the particulates and stuff. Now, what do you think about that, though? Because I've heard that, know that a lot of the macro brew beers, and all the way down to Sapporo, I think, the Japanese beer, they use finer and finer micron-grade filters to filter out everything.
Yeah, and that's certainly an option you have. I mean, you could do a coarse filter, which I think is like 8 micron, and then a medium filter of 5 micron, all the way down to like maybe a 2 micron.
Yeah.
And after that, beer kind of stops flowing. But, they do that for shelf life. It doesn't really improve. Well, it clarifies the beer. A lot of people like clean, fresh beer. Right?
Does it change the taste?
It removes sediment. So if you want some kind of yeast tang to your beer, like the wheat beers are typically unfiltered, or they actually reduce the filtering. So they'll let some controlled amount of particulate through yeast in this case to make, give you the cloudy, hazy appearance, but they don't want too much or too little because they're trying to maintain the quality.
I mean, if you're doing a bottle conditioned beer, you've got to have some yeast.
Yeah, you got to. You typically what they do is they add some yeast back. So a lot of people, they want to take a beer and farm the yeast from it, you know, that's been bottle conditioned. Well, you may not be getting the same yeast that they brewed it with. So, you know, the brewers can really mess with you in that case because you're trying to make like a Sammy Claus clone and you're actually the bottle conditioned with some other yeast that's not even close.
Hmm.
So,
okay. Well, you know, we've kind of slid quietly into beer news. I got some beer news from your neck of the woods, Aspen Brewing Company. And they have apparently, there wasn't an Aspen Brewing Company. They're new. And it says after only 11 days of operation, the brewery's first batch consisting of 14 kegs of wheat beer and brown ale sold out. It wasn't.
Really?
Yeah. Went until Friday. The next batch, a 7.7% IPA, which the writer wrote as an Indian pale ale instead of India, or a good Friday afternoon beer, was ready. This town drinks too much, says Duncan Klaus, adding that the first batch of beer dried up much faster than brewery had anticipated. Five kegs were sold out of the first batch. The remainder went out in growlers and in individual pints. That's a hell of a start.
That just tells you how popular craft beer really is, particularly in this neck of the woods, because they have an educated drinker base. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, the big news here in Memphis is our good friend Chuck Skypack at Bosco's, who we've talked about on the show. We did a live deal there. We've got some more from our recent adventures on St. Patrick's Day at Bosco's coming up down the road. He is now going to start selling kegs and growlers of his beer. I don't think we've ever been able to get growlers in Memphis, so this is a big deal. And we'll be able to get that.
We wanted to do a Bosco show, and we had to drive to Little Rock to get the growlers, and I didn't do it.
Yeah, because you couldn't. You had to go there in order to get it. So that's a big deal here in Memphis. I hope he doesn't get caught. Surely somebody will bring the hammer down on him.
No, I think that this is long overdue, that Bosco's, you know, hopefully they eventually start bottling. I know he says that's throwing away $1 million. But,
right,
I think he'll do quite well if he does it. So
yeah,
Chuck.
He says if he ever wants to go broke, he'll start bottling his beer. So.
Right. I'm not sure that's entirely true.
Well, that's his outlook. You know how it is. I mean, he's a very successful brew pub, restaurateur. Got four restaurants now or five. And apparently demand has increased for his beer that other restaurants are willing to sell it. So that's kind of cool. You know, people that could be going to Bosco's to eat because they have fantastic food are now going to just have their beer there. So very nice, and more to come on that. But
if you're listening to us, you probably got this in your email from somebody. They're saying that everybody that's getting their stimulus check from the government, go out and buy some beer, because that's actually one of the few American industries that's actually going to benefit Americans. So.
Well, I'm ready for my Urbach, and are you about there?
Yep, let's drink it.
Well, and you know what? Because this is probably one of our classier beers, I wonder if we can get a little class and a little culture to go along with this.
Sure, this is a good one. Cue the music. Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater presents Beer Haiku. This is BeerHaikuDaily.com. Owner and proprietors, Captain Hobbs. Small victories. When problems are hard, I try something easier. Beer is pretty easy. Beer Haiku.
Oh, yeah.
Class. Culture.
That was great. And so accurate. Beer is pretty easy. I was telling somebody the other day, the words of wisdom, and I forget which brewer said it. I think it was Sam Calagione, who said, everyone can afford the best beer in the world. You know?
Right.
Good stuff. So the Urbach, this is one that we had a while back. And what exactly is an Urbach?
Well, Bach is German for goat. And we know that Bachs are typically brewed during the Lent. The monks brewed them as liquid bread. Mm-hmm. They would help them survive their fasting. I don't know if they're considered fasting complete abstinence from food, but certainly the box kept them alive and well and chanting. So
what's the Ur?
I don't know.
Okay. I thought you knew.
It's German for something.
It's German for something. Urbach. So someone out there will tell us what an Urbach. I thought you knew this. Okay. It means, according to the Schlenkerla, a smoked Bock beer for Bamberg's strong beer season, October through December. I didn't know there was a season for strong beer. Matured for months in ancient rock cellars underneath Bamberg and tapped freshly from oakwood cask, similar to but much bigger than the classic Marzen style. Original gravity, 17.5%. Alcohol, 6.5%. Bitterness, 40. So this is getting on up there.
Isn't Ur like a way of saying superior, like Uber, you know?
I don't know. I mean, is it, or is it under, or we'll have to head on to Wikipedia and find out exactly what Urbach means. Ah, here it is. The prefix Ur means original in German. Strictly speaking, the original Bock beer is an ancient northern German, not a Bavarian beer, although many Bavarian brews nowadays also use the designation Urbach. Okay, it's a Bock. It's a strong Bock, an original Bock beer. Okay, live, raw, naked podcasting at its finest. Hell, we're just doing it while we do it, right?
We learn ourselves.
That's
so
right.
The ones we're not trying tonight are the Sunkurla Lager and a Lent beer also.
Right. And that's from this Schlenkerla. And if you want to see this, you can visit their website, Schlenkerla, schlenkerla.de. It's a German beer, German site. They do have an English translation. And it's pretty interesting stuff. And of the three, and of course, I'm 2 pints in now, I think this Urbach is my favorite. It's got
a
little,
the most.
I think it's got a little more of what, and you know, I'm wondering if it isn't because we're used to the high alcohol American, you know, smack you in the face beers. This seems more at home to me, more comfortable.
Well, it's been winter and we've been drinking a lot of barley wines and big heavy beers for a while. So this is kind of right in there.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, and the season's about to change. We're going to start getting into warmer weather, some more lighter beers, interesting beers. And, you know, it's one of those things, craft beers, you can adapt as the seasons change. There's so many of them out there. I read something like there was like 10 or 13,000 varieties of beer currently in the U.S. It's an amazing number. So we've barely tapped the surface. And I'm getting all beered up, getting my beer goggles on so I can go watch a movie.
What are you going to go watch?
I am going to see the superhero movie, which looks pretty funny. I forget the kid's name. Drake Bell, he's going to be. I've seen two movies recently. The first one was 21, about the MIT student who learns to count cards, etc., based on a true story. Well, I read the book. And I got to say, the book is better than the movie. It covers a whole hell of a lot more of card counting and adventures and different casinos and ripping them off, etc. The movie is kind of a composite of some of the characters. It takes a little liberty with some of the violence, which actually never happened in real life. but they don't cover as many of the scams that were pulled that's documented in the book. So I got a little bit out of both. It was pretty cool. And the other movie I saw recently just came out, Run, Fat Boy, Run, with Simon Pegg, whose name you probably don't know, but you know his face. He's the guy from Hot Fuzz and, of course, Shaun of the Dead, one of the funnier comedy zombie movies. And it's pretty funny. And it was him and Hank Azaria, the guy who's known for a bunch of voices on The Simpsons. And what we were trying to figure out, what was something he's been on? You know the guy's picture, but just maybe not his name. Anyway, it's a great movie. It's hilarious as hell. And they show on the picture, on the commercial for the picture, you see the big blister the guy gets. And one of the other guys, Thomas Ian Black, who's actually the writer of it, poking, he says, it's like a womb. He's like poking this giant blister. What they don't show you is what happens next, which is just hysterical. It's really nasty and gross, but it's hysterical. So I would go see that. It's just
Hot
hilarious.
Fuzz was a pretty funny movie. Pulling out the weapons. You know,
yeah, all the weapons. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's Simon Pegg. That's the guy. The over-the-top zealot policeman. Have you seen Shaun of the Dead?
I've started to watch it several times. I'm not into zombies.
It's a funny movie. It's hilarious as hell. But anyway, that's the team, Thomas Ian Black and Simon Pegg have worked together on all those movies. So it's hilarious. And Hank Azaria was the only American in the movie. Takes place, the premise is the guy ran out on his wedding. It's 5 years later. And his former fiance, who he ditched but still has a thing for, is about to get married to a dude, Hank Azaria, who's a big runner. And so Simon says, well, I'm going to run the marathon too. Of course, not knowing what the hell he's getting into. So it was kind of nice. Funny movie. Took the kids to it. Really, virtually nothing inoffensive. So it's kind of nice to be able to take the kids to something, just, you know, something for everybody.
That's pretty unusual to have a family-friendly movie.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, it was, you know, it was pushing the envelope in several places. They were talking about mommy and the character jumping on the bed, but that's as close as I got. But,
okay.
You know, it was good. PG-13, but nothing you couldn't take the kids to see. So the Urbach, getting back on topic, very tasty beer, enjoying it immensely. And all of the beers that we've had.
Yeah, tonight I think we're going to do a different format. We're just going to do two segments, right?
Yeah, that's it. We just covered some beers, a short show, and just trying to get back into it. We've been just life has gotten in the way.
Mike's out of town, so it's just the two of us again, like the old days.
That's right. And more stuff coming. We got a lot. God, we've got a refrigerator full of beer. So we're going to have to start stepping it up and getting some of these out, getting back to you. Hopefully the newer listeners have gotten a little something out of this. We've covered a lot of ground here with this show. And let's close out. I got another album.
I have a promotion before we shut
out. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. The Epiphany Beer.
For the homebrewers that listen to the show, I have a separate website, and I have recently upgraded my home brewery to add a malt mill, and I went ahead and did the whole motorized malt mill. Kind of promoted this in several different places, but for the listeners of BigFoamyHead.com, check out EpiphanyBrewing.com and look at the local scene, and you can find out what I'm eating and drinking usually. But this time, I did a fairly good write-up on motorizing your own malt mill, so you can order grains that haven't been crushed already, or you can get bulk grains and you can crush them the day you're brewing, and it'll be nice and fresh, and you get better efficiency, yada yada. So,
and Epiphany Brewing is linked off of BigFoamyHead.com,
and BigFoamyHead.com is linked off of Epiphany. So
there you go.
Check it out.
Yeah. So and the other thing, Epiphany Brewing. You mentioned your grain mill. There was one more thing.
Well, there's the play filter, but I also do all my write-ups as far as when I go out to Avery and to Old Beer and, you know, whatever different functions I'm doing around town. I usually try to do a little write-up, so you can read through that.
Well, we also, I know what it was, Epiphany Brewing, while not yet his own podcast, it is it's on the website, but reminder, Big Foamy Head, even though we've been kind of lax in getting it out as regular as we were, be sure to check out beersafari.com, all of your favorite beer podcasts, at least our favorites, anyway, and good stuff out there, and beertribe.com, want to throw a plug to them, too. Johnny Max and friends over there have been throwing some nice vibes our way, and we want to respond in kind. Nice to see maybe it's just me, but I'm seeing a little more interest these days in craft beer. Maybe it's just...
Indeed, yeah. And I think that homebrewers are naturally linked to the commercial craft brewers. So, yeah, definitely Beer Tribe. It's a good place to go hang out. I do that. And the Beer Report, of course, we hang out there a lot, too. So
absolutely, yeah.
And Beer Safari, it's a jungle of beer out there.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the rest of the tagline.
That's it.
Oh, is it? It's a jungle of beer out there.
Pretty short. Pretty short and sweet. So, all right, well, let's get out of here, and I've got a lead-out music, a live cover of Rip It Up from Alvin Lee and a concert he did in Vienna back in the mid-90s, and thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out each and almost every week at BigFoamyHead.com. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Great audience. Love y'all. Keep on rocking. See you next time.